Good morning, good morning. My name is Benji and I'm an addict. And I'm a member of the Metro Detroit region of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm really, really happy to be here with you this morning. It's one thing to be here, but it's another thing to be here with you. I'm here with you. It's not a freak show for me. You're sitting there prepared to give me your heart. You're prepared to give me the greatest gift that you can give to me, and that's to listen to me. It really isn't about me. I thank this committee. You invited me. You invited me. You didn't have to do that. There's nothing special about me. What's special is your love for me. It's your love for me. I take that seriously. I take this experience serious. Our lives are at stake. I take the fact that you're sitting here this morning as an indication that you want to live. I got a friend that's sitting on the front row, man, and that's what opened the emotions for me this morning, seeing you sitting there on the front row, because I know of two reasons you're on the front row. One is that I know you want to live. And the second reason you're sitting on the front row is because I'm speaking this morning. In other words, you're sitting on the front row because you're giving me goodwill. Have you ever had an addict give you goodwill? Have you ever been given goodwill? Even when you didn't deserve it? Even when there was nothing special about you? And I thank you for that. I thank you for your desire to want to live, man. It takes a lot of courage for us to make our way to Narcotics Anonymous. It was a hell of a trip getting here. It's a hell of a trip getting here. I'm glad Wayne didn't go into a long introduction, because you already know me. We didn't just meet at this convention. We've been together for a long time, haven't we? We just meet under some very extraordinary conditions this morning. We could have met in an abandoned building. We could have met in a penitentiary. We could have met in an alley someplace. We could have met in a porno shop. But we've been together for a long time. We're not strangers. And if you're new to Narcotics Anonymous, you got a disease that tells you that you're separate and you're different. But these are your people. We've been running together for a long time. I have 50 cents in my pocket. And I run over on the east side. And I hook up with Wayne. He had a quarter. And then we run to the west side and hook up with Renee. She had a dollar. And we'd run like that all night long, working in teams, working cooperatively together. I'm talking about in the streets. We worked it out in the streets, man, and we wasn't working with nothing. We didn't have no program. We didn't have no steps. We didn't have no traditions. We didn't have no meetings. We didn't have no sponsorship. We didn't have anything, and we worked it out. You mean to tell me we come to Narcotics Anonymous now and we got all of this access and we can't work it out? Of course we can work it out. We can work it out, whatever it is. There's no problem bigger than us. It's a lot of strength in this room. It's in front of you, it's to the right of you, it's to the left of you, it's behind you. It's a lot of strength in this room. I'd walk all night, man, from sun up to sundown. I was the kind of addict you'd run into me at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd have my high beams on. What's up? What's up? What in the hell you think of 4 o'clock in the morning but a bunch of nuts? But a bunch of nuts. And deep loneliness, man. And deep loneliness and deep desperation. I came to Narcotics Anonymous and I found you. I found you. And you're putting me back together. Isn't that wonderful? You're putting me back together. And we'll do that for you if you're new. Sean has 74 days today. Is he here? Sean. Met him last night. 74 days clean. There's my man. From the east of the Bay Area, right? Sean, we want you to sit down and rest a while. We know you're tired. Sit down and rest a while. I'd walked all night. 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I was still walking, man. Trying to get one more. And I got so lonely, it wasn't even about one more. I was just trying to get a connection. I was just trying to get a connection, man. I was out in Honolulu. And I was a graduate student. I was the smartest guy in my class. But I couldn't stop using. Isn't that interesting? The smartest guy in my class, but I couldn't stop using. Addiction isn't an intellectual problem. Doesn't matter how wise you are. Doesn't matter how wise you are. I have the dope in one room and the scholarship in another. And I'd run from the dope to the scholarship. This is a spiritual problem. And only a spiritual solution is going to work. Only a spiritual solution is going to work. And I don't have a problem with intellectual solutions and financial solutions. All of that is wonderful. I'm one of these addicts that will encourage you to the very end and support you that you should be trying to improve the material circumstances of your life. I applaud you for that. You should get the GED. And you should go and get the MD and the PhD. You should do everything you can to improve the material circumstances of your life. There's nothing spiritual about being poor. There's nothing spiritual about being poor. The material world and the spiritual world can coexist. So go do your thing. I'm just here to suggest that you put your spiritual development first. Not suggest to you, the book tells us to do that. I'm here to remind you that the literature says that we put our spiritual development first, and all other areas of our life will come to us naturally. So the gifts are going to come. There's no way you can stay in this program under God's grace and not have a whole lot of miracles come your way. A whole lot of dreams are going to come true. But interesting, in time, through recovery, in time, through recovery, our dreams do come true. In time. So what that means, Sean, is that I've got to make a commitment to the journey. I've got to be committed to the journey because it is something about time. There's a perspective that comes with time. In time, through recovery. And our literature just constantly do that to us, man. These dependent phrases. In time is dependent. Through recovery is dependent. Our dreams come true is an independent statement. They can't live without each other. You need all of that. You need time, you need recovery to get to the dream. Give yourself some time. Sit down and rest a while. It's a process. It's a birth process. And it's painful at times. If you talk to a woman that's given birth, she will tell you that that birth process is a painful process. And it's messy at times. We don't get this time. I've been here now 16 years. We don't get this time by not making a mistake here and there. In fact, in my case, a lot of mistakes. I've fallen on my face a lot over the years. And I've learned a lot from those mistakes. And I've learned a lot from my pain. And you're going to learn a lot from your pain. And anybody that tells you they can give you a program or prescription that can keep you from falling on your face, it probably isn't going to happen. So I don't have a prescription like that. I won't tell you to stay out of relationships. I will tell you to get a program of Narcotics Anonymous as soon as you can. Because you're going to get yourself into some stuff, just as sure as you're human. But if you get yourself a program of Narcotics Anonymous, you can survive whatever shows up in your life. You can survive whatever shows up in your life. And there's a lot of evidence of that in this room. There's a lot of evidence of that in this room. Well, I'm in graduate school at the University of Hawaii. And I'm the smartest guy in school, in my class, but I can't stop using. And then I'd get out of school and I'd put on a cheerleading uniform. I was in the athletic program at the University of Hawaii. And at that time, I was doing my thing with gymnastics, and I would throw up and build pyramids and that sort of thing. And I couldn't stop using. And I'd be in Aloha Stadium, man, high as a kite, dropping girls all over the place, having to run to the locker room to do some dope, to get back out on the field, to be motivated. I was a mess. And then when that was over, I'd put on a prison guard uniform. And I'd go to Hawaii State Prison, and I'd go and work as a guard at the prison. A real Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, trying to stay on top of the disease of addiction. I'm in a mess, man. I'm in school. I'm in an athletic program. I'm a prison guard. I can't stop using. Have you ever been to Hawaii? When I'm not in class, I'm on Hotel Street. The sleaziest place in Hawaii. I'm a wreck. I'm a wreck, man. And of course, I don't want to live. And I'm at the jumping off point. And I want to take my life. And I'm thinking about ways and means to do that. And I called a suicide hotline. And I told them my dilemma. And they said, "Where are you?" And I said, "I'm at Hotel Street at a porno shop. Me and my wee-wee." I know that it's Sunday morning. And I promise Wayne that I'll be on good behavior. But it's hard for me, man, to come to these podiums and not talk about my work and my wife and my wee-wee. My wife said I'm more fascinated with it than she is. And she's right. She's right. In time, through recovery, right? I'm going to keep coming. Well, I call the suicide hotline, man, and they tell me, "Do you want us to come and get you, or can you walk to this facility?" I said, "God damn it, I can walk," because I knew how to walk. I told you I walked all night, all day. I'm still walking. And I want you to keep walking. And you keep putting one foot in front of the other and see what you're going to walk up on in this camp. It's on now. You think your disease took you somewhere. You stay here. You're getting ready to go somewhere now. There's another part of the story. I was in a mess. I was checkmate. The deal was done. I didn't think I had another move, man. My back was up against the wall, man. And I didn't think I'd had another move in me, man. But the king had another move. You've got another move. The queen has another move. If you're here this morning, you got another move. and you leave this convention and you go do your thing. And I want you to go to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous as soon as possible. And I want you to find an addict at that meeting that feel as though they're all alone. Because every meeting you go to, there's an addict sitting in that room that feel as though they're all alone. And I want you to convince them that they're not. And watch what happens to your life if you'll do that. That's the ingredient as far as I'm concerned. I got an extraordinary life, and the only thing I can think about it that made it extraordinary is I've always invested in addicts. I've always invested in addicts, and I've always believed in you. And I don't put anything ahead of you. I don't put anything ahead of addicts. And anytime I get ready to withdraw from you, I can do it because I've invested in you. And I don't care how good my life gets. There's going to come a time where it's not going to be good enough. I'm going to have to withdraw from you. And I walked to that hospital. And they told me, can you come back Monday? You've got some insurance and we can do something for you. And I said, hell no. I surrender. I give up. I can't go on any further. And I refused to leave that facility. And I had to do some heavy duty acting because they wanted to send me to a drug treatment program Monday. And so all they had available for me Saturday night was the psychiatric hospital. And I knew what I needed to do to get up in there. Because we know what we need to do when we need to do it. So don't act as though we don't know. We know what to do when we need to get what we want. I wanted a new way of life. And I said, God damn it, I'm not leaving this hospital. And I started sniffing the walls and carrying on and doing all those aerobatics. And they put me in a taxi cab, man. They put me in a taxi cab in downtown Honolulu and drove me all the way out on the Waianae side of the island. 26 miles in a taxi cab to a treatment program that night. That's worth clapping about. And when I was in that taxi cab, I was telling that taxi cab driver, man, it's on. Something's getting ready to happen for me. And I haven't looked back, man. That's been over 16 years ago. I found you when I needed you the most. Have you ever come to a fellowship? Do you realize when we showed up at Narcotics Anonymous, we needed this place desperately? And this place was here for us? And we heard the life-saving message? We heard the life-saving message of Narcotics Anonymous when we got here. This is why we must listen to the message. The life-saving message, and we must honor the message. It isn't about me. We got to remember that if it was a life-saving message and it saved me, I've got to sit down and shut up and create a space for that same message to save somebody else. I can't be like, well, I got it now. I can start walking around all over the place. Because after all, I've got the message. You're on your own now. You honor the message. It isn't about me. I'm only the mailman. When you see the mailman, you don't get excited about the mailman. You get excited about what he's bringing. It's the message. It isn't me. So I want you to honor our message. I want you to honor our circle. Your dignity is in that circle. It's a circle of equality. There are no big shots in Narcotics Anonymous. One shot and your ass is out the door, right? One shot and you out the door. I want you to honor our circle. You bring yourself to the circle, which means you've got to stay till the meeting ends, whenever possible. It's called honoring our circle. It's bringing your experience to the circle. If we close the meeting without you, something is missing. And you've got to have enough self-concept to understand that. In time, we get the self-concept. We develop an identity, a healthy identity, a healthy enough self to know that I'm important. We develop a self that's strong enough to realize that there can be 1,000 people in this room. Your identity is not at stake. So what is all this fear about? No, I'm not afraid. You're my brother. And I'm your brother. So why am I afraid of you? You're either proud of me or you're not. You're either ashamed of me or you're not. You either believe in me or you don't. And if you're ashamed of me, if you're not proud of me, if you don't honor me as your brother, it's okay. In time, through recovery. In time, through recovery. It'll all make sense to us. It'll all make sense to us.
I'm going to tell you what Elizabeth Taylor told those 8 husbands. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm not going to keep you long, I promise. Because we got work to do, don't we? Don't we? We've heard the message and we have been served this weekend. It's time to go to work now. I'm talking about some real discipline. Some real practice. Some real devotion. Some real surrender. This is the gift that you've got to give yourself. Do you love yourself enough to give this gift to yourself? And you can come to the meeting and you can talk about them, that, and this. And what the world did to you or what the world didn't do for you. And what such and so didn't give to you. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to what are you going to do for you? Are you going to give this gift to yourself? I treated myself like a trash can all my life. I treated myself like a trash can. I abandoned me. I didn't believe in me. I didn't respect me. I didn't love me. I never put my arms around myself. I never gave myself the gift of compassion. I never extended empathy to me. I didn't love me. And I come to Narcotics Anonymous and I get a resentment because you don't. I just started doing it 5 minutes ago. Keep loving yourself. And in time and in recovery, you may get that from me. Go move forward on your journey towards your own wholeness. Speaking with an addict this morning, and I said the reason we hold on to stuff is because we don't feel whole. When I feel whole, I can let some stuff go. I've got to invest in my own wholeness because we are going to relate to each other from our own wholeness. And you need me. And I need you. You're my compass. Where can I go without you? And you are my mirror. You're my mirror. I'm supposed to be getting a better understanding of me through you. I should get a deeper understanding of my disease Because as I watch my disease in you, and as I watch it in me, I get a clearer picture. You are my mirror, and you are my compass. In desperation, I come to Narcotics Anonymous and seek help from you.
We are free to dream. We are free to go in directions we've never considered before. We are free to go. In other words, you've got to get free before you can go. You've got to get free before you can go. In directions we've never considered before. My story, north and south, east and west. North and south, east and west. North and south, east and west. From Honolulu to Dade County to Miami, back to Daytona Beach to Atlanta, just all a nut in a rut. North and south, east and west. There's a fifth direction. There's a fifth direction. And we call it in Narcotics Anonymous, you're going inside. It's the inward direction. That's the only direction we haven't traveled. We've done it all. We've seen it all. We've been everywhere. Penitentiaries, buildings, abandoned buildings, porno shops, city to towns, the lovers, north and south, east and west. Go inside. We are free to dream. You got to be free to dream. You're in denial if you are trapped in compulsion and trapped in the obsession and have no discipline and no daily ritual practice. You're not dreaming. That's wishful thinking. You've got to be free to dream the kind of dreams that we're talking about. And to pursue the fulfillment of our dreams, our lives, not my life. This isn't about Benji. It's our lives that make this heavy duty. It isn't just my life. God doesn't love me any more than he loves you. And what I'm supposed to tell you is, if God will do it for me, if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you, right? Our lives stretch out before us like a limitless horizon. Our lives stretch out before us like a limitless horizon. We may stumble from time to time, but the 10th step gives us an opportunity to pick ourselves up and keep walking forward. Our higher power has given us an invitation to live. And we accept it with gratitude. Our higher power has given us an invitation to live, and we accept it with gratitude. That's heavy. That's heavy. I get in this treatment center, and they do their thing, and then they tell me it's time to go to Narcotics Anonymous. Those people understand you. They understand you, and they'll put you back together. And I came to you, and you've been putting me back together. And it's been some work. It's been some work. I was full of fear. I was full of suspicion and mistrust and cynicism. And I went and I wrote on the board, I don't want to be respected. And I just was a nut in a rut. And the disease had me gripped. And the addicts penetrated all of that with love. They knocked down. Love's like fire. It'll burn through all your bullshit.
This is why goodwill is in the symbol. And we benefit from the goodwill of addicts who give us goodwill when their program showed up when mine couldn't. When I didn't have a program, there was addicts who gave me their program. It's something else, man, to get the goodwill of an addict, man. When I was giving stuff away. Have you ever given something away and God gave it back to you, man? Have you ever given something away and God gave it back to you? I did that with my son. I got a 24-year-old. His name is Anthony. And when he was born, I was resentful towards his mother. I was bad with her because she got pregnant. Where was I while she was getting pregnant? Me and my wee-wee. She got pregnant. But you know what? It's a life-saving message. And the literature told me where I was at. I was at that place where we like to live. Well, we don't necessarily like to live there. We just live there. And it's that place called the inability to accept personal responsibility. I couldn't get with that. So I got mad with her. You know how you get mad instead of getting responsible? You get mad. So I was mad with her. And I refused to hold this child. Now you're talking about an addict. You're talking about the disease. I refused to hold my own son. And now I come in here with an attitude with you? You mean to tell me I got a problem with you today? Where's my fourth step? You mean to tell me I'm struggling with intolerance today? Where's my sixth step? How could that be? You mean to tell me I can't deal with disappointment today? And I've disappointed 1,000 people in my life? And now I can't handle being disappointed? I'm ready to tear up the house because you disappointed me? Grow up! My voice is really bad this morning. Grow up! For God's sake, man. Grow up, man. Look at that. Take a hard look at that fourth step, man. I was speaking to my dear friend yesterday. And I said, man, let your father go, man. Let him get away. Stop resenting your father, man. Let him get away. You mean to tell me that we got away? If you're sitting in this room, you escaped. You got away. And you got everything you need to move forward in your life. Do you mean to tell me that you will escape? You will get away. You will get in God's grace. You will get into the power of this program. And then you would intentionally hold somebody else up and say, no, stay in the corner. I don't want you to get away. Let your victim go. Let your victim escape. God, I forgive everybody that has ever done anything to me, real or imagined. And I want nothing but good things to happen to them because something good is happening to me today. And because of that, I'm okay with you getting away. I'm fine now. I'm fine now. I'm under God's grace now. I've got a program now. I don't have to hold you up anymore. I said to Mark, love your father. Give him the gift of being your father. Can you imagine if you let your father love you? What a gift you would give to him. We got gifts to give away, and we won't even give them away. We will hold on to them. Because we are still hurting. You've got to get free. And you've got to get past this hurt and this harm so you can share your life with me. So you can share your love with me. So you can share your light with me. So you can give me goodwill when on one of those days I don't have a program. But you're big enough and you've got a program. You can give it to me, not because of who I am, but because of who you are. Give it to me because of who you are. I might not deserve your love, but you're so big and you're so strong and you're so healthy, even though I don't deserve your love, you are big enough to give it to me. Can you imagine that? Dreams come true. God loves us not because we're good, but because He's good. And I want you to start loving the addict that's sitting next to you because you're good and you got a program. It's our time, man. The world is waiting on us. In our worldwide fellowship, we've got much work to do. We've got places to go. There are addicts that's on their way to Narcotics Anonymous that hadn't got here yet. They're on their way. And I've got to have a program when they get here. I've got to understand them when they get here. I've got to understand their ego. I've got to understand their fear. I've got to understand their pride. I've got to understand their arrogance. And the only way I understand them is by doing the inventory work on me. It's not hard to understand you. All I've got to do is to understand me. If I understand me, I understand you. We've got work to do. You deserve this gift. You don't need to come up short. We've got years of coming up short. There's a society that's waiting on us. Waiting on us to get healed. And we've got a fellowship that wants us to become a productive member in here and a productive member in society. Because we are a society, but then there's another society. And our predecessor's dream for us is that we be able to participate in both worlds. That we be able to live in both worlds. Talking about dreams come true.
I feel like I'm yelling. I feel like I have no voice. I hope I'm not yelling too loud, am I? Speaking of becoming a productive member of society, let me share one dream with you. That was the dream for me. And I've been living that dream for a while now. And last year, I got a letter from the governor of the state of Michigan, Jennifer Granholm. And I keep the letter in my basic text. Because the letter from Governor Granholm, for whatever reason, validated that I have become a productive member of society. And I want to share her letter with you. Dear Benji, I'm pleased to appoint you as a member of the Council for Labor and Economic Growth. I have every confidence that you will find great personal satisfaction in this important position, and that the state of Michigan will benefit from your background and your experience. It is a great and noble privilege to serve the people of Michigan. I know, Benji, that you will do the people's work with excellence and integrity, and that you will never take lightly the responsibility the people of Michigan have given to you. Thank you for taking on this challenge, and thank you for working with me to build a strong and bright future for our great state. Warm personal regards, Jennifer Granholm. You should be proud of your brother. You should be proud of me. And I thank you for applauding. I wanted your applause. But bigger than your applause, I wanted you to understand where this journey may lead us. And you don't need to know where you're going, man.
You don't need to know where you're going. You just need to stay on 95 North. And you're going to New York. For 20 years, I was on 95 South trying to get to New York. I was going in the wrong direction. And I came to a fellowship called Narcotics Anonymous, and I found you. And I'm on the right road now. And I'm on the right road with you. And it's one fellowship. I love our theme this year. I love our World Convention theme this year. One fellowship and many friends. It comes down to the people you meet along the way, man. It really comes down to the people you meet along the way. We're going to be with addicts for the rest of our lives. You only have one choice. You're going to be with addicts in these rooms that are cleaning up, that have the courage, like my friend Joe, who want to live, who believe in me. Me? All I ever wanted to do was stop using, man. All I wanted to do was to stop using. How did I get? How do I show up every day, man? How do I show up every day, man? And serve our fellowship, man? How do I serve the state of Michigan, man? Because I've been coming to these rooms. There are no rooms like the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. There are no rooms like these rooms. I've been coming to these rooms, man, and when you come to these rooms and you let in time in recovery, in time through recovery, and you invest in addicts and you build up addicts, man, you can get into any room. And when I go to those rooms, when I go to Lansing, man, or whether I'm sitting in the room with George Bush, or whether I'm sitting in the room with Miss America, because I go to a lot of rooms and I sit there, man, and I have my business card and I be in a nice suit, man. I mean a really nice suit. And I be batting my eyes and I be doing my little thing, man. And I be thinking about you. And I be missing you. And I can't wait to get back to you. Because I realize the room, when I'm sitting in those rooms, it's only because I've been coming to these rooms. Don't you let your disease tell you that there are some rooms that are more powerful than these rooms. That I hope that doesn't happen to me. I hope I never lose my connection to you. I hope I never lose my connection to you. I live in Flint, but I recover in metropolitan Detroit because I'm one of these addicts that benefit from the principle of anonymity. It's very important to me, as you can somewhat imagine. And so I can't recover in my community anonymously. So I drive 70 miles to Detroit. One way. I drive 140 miles to meetings of Narcotics Anonymous, and there are five or six addicts in this room that will validate that I'm being honest with you. I drive 140 miles to meetings of Narcotics Anonymous, and I make three meetings a week with 16 years clean. Because I got enough sense to know I better recover. And if I don't want to recover in my community, you better find somewhere to recover. So that's what I have to do. I travel great distances. And I didn't tell you that because I want you to think I'm some hell of a fella. I want you to know that's the power that you have on me. That's the hold that you have on me. That's what this program means to me. I love you, Narcotics Anonymous. I'm a selfish, self-centered addict, and I'm always interested in what's in it for me. Do you think I drive 140 miles because I ain't got nothing else to do? Ain't nothing in it for me? I know what I'm dealing with. I got a disease that's progressive, fatal, incurable. Progressive is moving forward even in abstinence. That's why I don't understand all that walking. If you knew what you was fucking with, you sit down in here. Y'all been good this morning, so I ain't talking about y'all. But last night, all that walking, while Brian was sharing, bless his heart, I wanted to stand up. And when you said it takes courage sometimes to be a predecessor, I felt that, and I wanted to stand up with some courage. But I understand. I walk too. I was so scared she wasn't going to see me. So I started walking. She was scared I wasn't going to see her. So she started walking. God damn it, we just walking. She didn't know. She was so scared she wasn't going to be able to get me. She didn't know that everybody had already had me. Everybody had already, by the time we get to Narcotics Anonymous, everybody already don't have us. We easy to get. Sit your ass down and have some faith. When I got here, all I was a wee-wee. That's all I had, and that's all you were going to get. That's all I was working with. I guess I'm moving on into relationships now. How much time I got, Alvin? Somebody need to tell me how much time, because I don't believe in it. I got 5 minutes. Woo! Y'all got away this morning because I was getting ready to go somewhere. I believe in relationships. I really, really do. Who am I? Where am I going? And then the question of who's going with me. That's not a bad question. And you don't need to be ashamed of that question. And you don't need to deny that you have that question in your heart. It's a valid question. Who's going with me? And the desire to want somebody to go with me. And I respect that question. And I'll respect you if you have that question in your heart. I think it's a healthy question. I don't believe in all of this silliness about it doesn't matter, I don't care, I'm just fine, and all of that. And of course we can live with, out, but there's nothing wrong with living with either. There's nothing wrong with extending your heart into the life of another person. But that order, who am I? Where am I going? And then who's going with me? And stop sitting around saying, God, send me somebody wonderful. Change the question. God, make me wonderful. God, make me wonderful. And some things will happen for you. Some things will happen for you in time, through recovery. Define for yourself what is responsible financial behavior. I'm on that journey today. Thank you, God. In time, through recovery, you've brought me to the place where I have enough sense, I have a little bit of sense to understand that I need to respect money. And if I make $10 a week, I need to put $2 aside. If I make $10 a week, I need to begin to define what is responsible financial behavior. And I can get with the experienced members, and there are many of us now who are experiencing this part of recovery, and ask the questions. Everything bling bling, some bling bling is a sign of irresponsible behavior. My friend said to me this week, I miss some of it. I want some bling bling. I feel a little inadequate. And I tried to remind him, that everything bling bling doesn't mean I'm being responsible. In time through recovery, I think the disease has a health and fitness component to it. I think we have to deal with the physical dimensions of our disease. Mine devastated me. I haven't had a donut in almost 3 years, and I'm free. And I wish I had time to tell you the pain, the nightmare. See, you have a lot of nightmares on your way to the dream. And it was a nightmare for me, waking my wife up at 1 o'clock in the morning, lying to her, telling her that she's coughing. And I've got to go get you some water, but I really got to get to the Breyers ice cream. And that donut shop, that Krispy Kreme donut shop, that was 1 minute from my house, and I had to eat a dozen before I got in the house. And I fell on my face 1,000 times. Have you ever had an area in your life that you relapsed in 1,000 times? The humiliation. And every morning I'd wake up looking for that surrender. You keep looking for that surrender. I love you, and you keep looking for that surrender. It's going to happen. You keep looking for that surrender. I'd wake up every morning looking for this surrender. And at the end of the day, it was another day of compulsion. But finally it came. And I have almost 3 years clean in that area. And I'm feeling the results of consistently doing the right thing for a period of time. It's in the practice. It's in the consistency. It's in the day after day after day, some stuff happens. And I'm feeling the result of having 3 years clean in that area. And it was a painful area for me. Pain, man. Pain. I don't have time to tell you. Dreams do come true. In time, through recovery. In time, you keep walking. I believe in you. I believe in you, and I'm going to be here right with you every step of the way. I have a commitment to you. I want you to ask yourself, what is the responsibility that comes with the gift? You're going to get the gift. Make sure you get the responsibility that comes with the gift. God didn't clean us up for just me. This gift is not just for me and for me alone. You've got to figure out, what are you going to do with the gift? You must give this gift away. It isn't for me to stand up on top of this table and celebrate myself. I've got to use this gift for God's purposes. And He'll give me everything I want if I'm willing to use it for His will and for His purposes. You've got everything you need here. A worldwide fellowship. A worldwide fellowship that you are part of, that transcends language, that transcends language. And I thank you for letting me serve. I got to close here, man. I was in South Florida, and my cell phone rang, and it was Robert from the World Services Office of Narcotics Anonymous. Can you imagine? When you start getting the phone call from World Services, it validates me. It means that they realize that I've been serving, man. The gifts, the things that I give to myself. I'm not doing you a favor. I don't serve you because I'm so spiritual or because I'm so wonderful. I just got enough sense to know when I serve you, something happens for me. The things I give to myself. That's why I don't push you away. And I don't shun you. And I don't play those kind of silly games, because I also got enough sense to know the things that I withhold from me. Your life is an inspiration to me. I've got a sponsor here. His name is Mike. He's in the New York school. He's on scholarship in New York. He attends an art school back in Michigan. But he's on scholarship. He's clean. And his school sent him to New York to study for a semester. And he's here. And I got a front row seat in his life. I got a front row seat in his life. Everything, when he gets the GED, when he gets the PhD, when the child is born, when he gets married, when he opens up his business, when he gets sick, when he gets divorced, I'm going to be right there. And I want you to give us the privilege of having a front row seat in your life when Department of Family and Children give you those kids back. When you open your own business, we want to be there. We want to be inspired by your life. I want to be inspired by your life. I've got a wonderful life, but I need the inspiration of your life. I need to be inspired by your life. And I want a front row seat in your life. That's the gift we give each other. That's the gift we give each other. Sean, we want to be there on the front row. When you get 1 year clean, can you imagine how your sponsor is going to feel? Because the stuff that we do for each other, I got a new house. In fact, I've got two houses. I got one on a big, beautiful lake, 4 acres. That sits empty 9-10 months out of the year, but I pay the mortgage. I'd rather pay that mortgage than go to Neiman Marcus. I go sometimes, but I got it. I'm managing that. Talking about bling, bling, bling that. I'm talking about doing some stuff that's responsible. I got a new house, but my new house is never going to say, Benji, I love you. My new car isn't going to say, thank you for believing in me. I accept you. I got a little ring on, but that ring isn't going to say, thank you for being in my life. There's some stuff that only you can do for me. The governor of Michigan can do some stuff for me, but she doesn't know me. She don't know how I come alive when I'm in abandoned buildings. She don't know that I love sleazy people and sleazy places, that I light up like a Christmas tree. I can't talk to the governor about me and my little wee-wee and the ridiculousness. I don't get it twisted. I don't want them people to know me. That's me too. That's the me that y'all helped me work with. I love you. I've got to go. And I'll see you soon. Thank you very, very much.